and welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, glad you could join us on a beautiful Wednesday morning. Mostly sunny skies throughout the day. Going to be hot, high right around 87, then partly cloudy tonight with a low near 66. And then for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with rain likely and a high near 82. Joined today by Licking County Commissioners Tim Bubb and Rick Black. And it was funny, Commissioner Bubb, talking about rain. You're getting some messages from AEP saying, be prepared, we could have some rain. Hey, it's summer. I mean, it's nothing you can do. It's like winter when folks go, it's snowing outside.
I don't like this hot weather. Let's go back to cold weather and rain. No, it's we'll probably get some rain. We might get a thunderstorm of it, but guess what? It's late spring.
That's exactly right.
You'll have that.
And, you know, just remind folks, if they want, the importance of signing up to get these weather alerts. I know a lot of folks have done it, but I've talked to Sean Grady with Licking County EMA, and he continues to get the word out. Hey, sign up for these alerts. Let us take care of it. We'll let you know.
Yep. Yeah. It works. Mm-hmm. It works.
Yeah, and as a guy who knows about that, I mean, you are an old farmer. Yep. I think you said.
He's not an old farmer.
Well, no, he's old.
Let's I'm old.
He's just a farmer.
Just old
at heart.
You got to keep your eye on the weather.
Oh yeah,
you got to know what's coming.
Oh yeah.
Well, if you're a boater, you need to keep an eye on the weather.
Good point.
It's here's one thing that I might mention that maybe people don't realize. You know, traditionally we've grown up around this area. And local fire departments and others, there are about 30 or 35 tornado sirens in the county. Most of them are aging out. They're very expensive to replace. And what the research has shown is that now with people in their homes with air conditioning and homes shut up and cars, they don't be driving around with the windows down anymore, the windows are up. Unless you're pretty close to a tornado siren, you don't hear them. Yep. And of course, if you're asleep. So what's happened is Sean Grady tells us, and you've had Sean on your program, mm-hmm. that it's much more effective to go. Everybody, 99% of the folks have these little cell phones that they're more than a phone, but the phone app that you can put on it through County EMA and Homeland Security basically gives you the alerts right to your phone. So if you're on a boat, if you're driving around, if you're at a ball game, if you're at home, if you're asleep at night, those alerts will go off. Rick, do you have it on your phone?
Oh, yes.
I've got it. And, you know, my wife gets mad. Cells. The phones will go off at night. And it's like, but hey, we would never have heard the tornado siren in Heath because, I mean, the house is shut up. So a lot of people are wondering, what about tornado sirens? Well, most of them still are operational. There's a few that have aged out. And to be honest with you, they're owned by local communities, local fire departments, and most of them they cost thousands to replace. They don't hold up well because of conditions, and so we're not replacing a lot of the tornado sirens. What we're encouraging people to do, the ones that are still up and functional are fine, they work, and but you know, you watch the media, listen to your radio station here, but put the alert on your phone. That way, wherever you're at, even if you're asleep or taking a nap like you do in the afternoon, Dave, you know, that little power afternoon
See that?
Nap.
I had to take that
shot. You know, I just like to slip this stuff on you.
I mean, come on.
Hey, you're an early
Somebody's
guy.
Somebody's a little older than me.
You're a sign-on guy. I know about those afternoon naps. But seriously, sign up for the alerts, because what will happen is they'll go off whenever, and you'll get the alert, and then you can go and tune to local media or the TV and see what the radar looks like and what to do. But you know, I've heard that from several people. They either can't hear tornado sirens or they don't have as many as there used to be. Well, there were never enough. There's only 30 some of them, and this is a huge county. Yeah. So, you know, if you're everywhere, and there's some very rural areas, you never had a tornado siren and never heard it. So don't rely on tornado sirens. If they still are operational in your area and you happen to hear it, well, guess what? You take a hint. But get your phone. Put the app on your phone. It's free. And guess what? The folks at our 911 center, which we operate in the city of Heath, when they get these alerts, again, from the National Weather Service, they pound that alert right in there. And, you know, it's, in my opinion, you're much safer to have that.
And, you know, a lot of times, because this county is so big, and I've talked to Sean about this, you know, it could be, and I live in Pataskala, you know, you're out in the Hanover area. No, down in the Union Township area.
I didn't move, not yet.
But, you know, what may be bad weather somewhere might not be. And I'm glad you brought up the boating because of Buckeye Lake. I mean, if you're out there at the wrong time, that could be a very dangerous situation.
Let me give you another example. We've had incidents out Black Hand Gorge where people are out in the rural areas, out Licking Valley area, the Hanover area, way out, you know, in Black Hand Gorge or out, you know, out east in the Fallsbury or whatever. You're in very remote areas, and the cell phones do work in those areas, and you get the alerts. But, you know, you're otherwise on your own out there if you don't get the alert, because if you're on the river, you know, if you're kayaking on the river down the Licking, beautiful trip down toward Dillon, but you don't know if a storm's brewing, and that way you get that alert.
Yeah,
and you know to get out of the water and get to your car.
You know, you just brought that up, and I just dovetail into another thing. You know, it's the summer months. Folks are going to get out, and both of you can speak to this. I mean, is there a better county to have a summer month and just be able to get out and do things?
There's
bike
so
path.
Much to do. Like you said, Dillon, the kayaking, the county parks, so forth. I mean, numerous parks, riding trails, walking trails. I mean, there's plenty to do in Licking County.
The Licking
all
Park,
over the county.
And the Licking Park District, I know they are doing so many different things. Mm-hmm. You've got OSU Extension, Master Gardeners, and all that. I mean, it's not hard to find these things. That's what makes, I think, Licking County so special.
If you can't find something, you're not looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot to go on.
Talk about the Park District real quick. As Rick knows, we've replaced two major bridges in eastern Licking County, at Clay Lick and at Staddon's Bridge, over the last half decade. And we are encouraging the Park District and ODNR to not only install but improve the kayak and canoe entry points to the Licking River at both those bridge sites. We have one at Staddon's Bridge. It kind of got washed out in the high water. They're redoing it, and we're building with ODNR's cooperation, because they own some land out there in the Park District, a better canoe and kayak launching point and parking point there at the Clay Lick Bridge, 668, so you can get on the Licking River safely, because we don't want people parking along the road. We want people to get off the road and safely access the river and that sort of thing. So one thing is, we would encourage people to go online with the Licking Park District. Number one, every month you can see their lists of programs and activities. But number two, I believe that the Park District right now is soliciting ideas and input for a new and expanded kayak and canoe launching point there at Clay Lick. We do have sets near Toboso, near the Black Hand. There is some ODNR land down there. And I believe the state's going to put some money into that parking area and that canoe launch. But if you have some ideas or thoughts about that, I think they're actually soliciting suggestions now. So a great place to go for information on the outdoor recreation is the Licking Park District website.
And there's so many great places to go across Licking County. Well, you mentioned bridges, and we were talking about that prior to the show. I know you just got an important bridge was just finished not too long ago out St. Louisville, Utica area that is helping folks. But Commissioner Black, I mean, there are so many bridges across this county. Oh. And, you know, big, small, it doesn't matter. They all need some sort of attention.
They need maintenance. I mean, right now, State Route 37 is closed in Union Township for two bridge replacements. You know, I live on Canyon Road, and it's like a state route at the moment for a township road. And it's
so
amazing.
2 month closure, do you know?
I think it's three.
I think it's 120 days.
120, yeah, it's a whole summer project. But it's kind of, at times, it's fun to watch these people who aren't used to driving on township roads.
Slow them down.
And they're like, oh my gosh, there's no striping on the roads or anything. And so they're a little bit bewildered driving on these rural roads.
But these bridges need to be tended to.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not like you can just, you know, that one's not that important. You know, we were talking at the Utica Ice Cream Festival. Folks were so happy that was, I can't think of the name of the.
Ginger Hill.
Thank you. They were talking about, you know, how they had to go out and about and around.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these bridges are a lifeline for a lot of folks.
Well, and then we've got Thornwood Drive closed too, between Lees Road and Irving Wick, and so right out in that area right now, it's a real traffic nightmare at times.
Summer construction season. There's going to be that sort of thing, but no, you're right. 37, that's a major artery.
Yeah,
and so that people should plan around that for the summer. I know it's inconvenient, but guess what? You got to take care of these roads and bridges. Mm-hmm. Dave, you mentioned bridges. Do you know how many bridges there are in the county outside of the city systems? Because we maintain the county bridges and the township bridges. Do you have any idea how many there are?
I remember you telling me one time, but I didn't remember.
It's over 500.
I was going to say 400.
No, it's a huge number.
It's a huge number.
Earlier in this decade, we replaced about 150 bridges over about a 10-year period. We borrowed a bunch of money and did that to get caught up. But we're doing bridges all the time. we have a crew under County Engineer Jared Nur. They actually do deck replacement themselves, and then we contract out, like Ohio Bridge did Ginger Hill, $2.1 million. So we also pay to have new bridges put in. It's a never-ending process because they age out. Yeah, just like news directors.
Thanks a lot. How about Commissioner? Well, he is just taking his shots.
This is my day, man.
You're in the bullseye. You are in the crosshairs, Dave.
Are we still welcome to come here?
Shut his mic off. But, you know, you talk about, explain the process. Is that for Jared and his crew coming out? Do folks say to you, hey, come out here and look at this bridge? I mean, how does it work?
The law says every year the county engineer will inspect all the bridges. So his people actually go out, Bill Evans and some of the other folks, and Rick knows them, they actually go out and they don't just drive over and say, oh, there's a bridge. They get out, they walk under it, they look at corrosion. And the reason Ginger Hill was shut down in a hurry and replaced, and it wasn't replaced at the right time of year, is because the crew went out and said, this bridge doesn't look too sturdy. So Jared Nur went out. They went down to the bridge. A truck went over it. And one of the I-beams, they didn't realize, had come apart and sheared. And so the bridge was flexing as the truck went over it. And Jared said, okay, the bridge is immediately closed. That's it. We're done. Because, you know, you got a farmer with heavy equipment. It's like, okay, you're going to be in the river. And so, I mean, that's what they do. They inspect under the bridges. That was a failure on that one. And they had to immediately close it. And, of course, then the trouble was the closure was over a winter and you couldn't get it finished till spring. And unfortunately, it took a little longer to get it done just because of weather. But, no, they literally inspect every bridge, and Rick has seen the report. They put them on a scale like 1 to 10, and so we know where the good ones, the mediums, and the old ones. We fixed a lot of the ones that were replaceable, and we got them done, but they're always aging. And we spend a lot of money on bridges, but you know how it works with bridges. You can go flying down the road, but when you get to the river, you want to be able to don't get wet.
You don't want to go in.
So you want the bridges to work.
No doubt about it. I mean, we've saw that out here with the Showman Arch Bridge for the city of Newark. Had to shut it down right away. They may be done finally over here with the two over Raccoon Creek over on 16. Is it? You know, they're paving there. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of bridges that I don't think folks kind of realize the importance of what they mean to the county.
Public safety.
It is. There's no doubt about it. Because, like you said, I don't want to be driving over a bridge and it buckles.
Nope.
That's not what I'm looking for.
Bill Osher, when he was the county engineer, told me when he convinced us that we needed to borrow a bunch of money and do a bunch of bridges, he said it lingered with him his entire life. He was an assistant engineer in Fairfield County, which is where he's from, Lancaster, worked for the engineer down there, and they had a bridge fail, and it cost someone their life. A car went down, and a female lost her life. And he said that hung with him the rest of his life. That, I mean, they would have fixed it if they had known it. You know, it's one of those things that happens. But he said it really brought home to him that when a bridge fails, I mean, it can be that can be devastating. Mm-hmm. So he said he never wanted to have that happen during his watch as a county engineer in Licking County. And that was one of the reasons why we did a bunch of bridges. And we still do, because it's one thing just to have a creaky old bridge, but number two, if one fails and somebody gets hurt, it is public safety.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more with Licking County Commissioners Tim Bubb and Rick Black on Buckeye Country 107.7. Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@WNKO.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Dave Doney, joined by Licking County Commissioners Tim Bubb and Rick Black on this Wednesday morning. Mostly sunny skies today, high right around 87, partly cloudy tonight, and then Thursday the clouds and rain roll in. high near 82. But
Rick, no more insulting the host. Well, okay, I mean, all right.
Okay. I don't think I got to tell Commissioner Black. I think it's more you. Tells me, hey, I'd like to come in, and then all of a sudden takes his shots.
You know, you've been on a roll, Tim.
He just kept piling on, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, talking about you know, things that are happening in Licking County coming up at the end of the month, really a neat event, Ohio Erie Canal Bicentennial Celebration. And, you know, I was telling you, I grew up in the Akron area, so I mean, I'm very well versed in the canals and the importance of what they played in the history of that city and here in Licking County. But this will be a really neat event folks need to take part in.
Yeah. It's going to be June 28th down at Canal Market. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a rededication of the canal.
Oh, look, there's people calling right now wanting to know about
somebody's
it.
Somebody's excited. It's from 10 to 2 that day. Well, Rick gets his call there. 10 to 2 that day. And but here's a big deal. I mean, originally the governor of New York, DeWitt Clinton, and the governor of Ohio were there to watch the first spadefuls of dirt turned here in Licking County for the big canal, or the big ditch, as they called it. Well, Governor DeWine's going to come over to Licking County to Newark that morning and be the keynote speaker.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about, you know, for folks who don't understand the history, and I mean, you can go down there. I mean, there's the different placards and stuff that tell you. But, I mean, this is something that needs to be celebrated when you talk about the engineering of this.
You drive, particularly out in my area, Union Township, so much, a big part of the canal went through Union Township. You know, you go out Canal Road at Hebron, you know, some of the canal's still there, feeding the fish hatchery and so forth. But you stop and think what went into building that. In those days when they didn't have the equipment we have now, it was manual labor, shovel, slip scrapers, and mules. Just imagine they got that done as well as they did, as quick as they did, and for the distance it covered. Oh, my gosh.
Thousands of immigrants helped to dig the canal. It was the big ditch. But what it did, and I think that's what has to be celebrated, it turned Ohio from the wilderness into it, connected Ohio to the rest of the world. Lake Erie and the Ohio River, all of a sudden now people who were in the interior, farmers like yourself and others, who really couldn't get their produce out to the markets, like to the north, like your area up in Summit County and Cuyahoga, up to the lake, and all of a sudden Ohio became a big deal. That was before the railroads and before the interstate highways. The transportation mode to get around, it was pretty slow, but you got there, and you could bring in import and you could export, and the Ohio Erie Canal was the first of the big transportation deals, and Licking County was right in the middle of it, and people know it or don't know it, but Buckeye Lake was dammed on the north bank and made from the Pigeon Swamp into a reservoir or a state lake to be a water source for the Ohio Canal, one of the several water sources. So the fact that we have the asset of Buckeye Lake here in Licking County and Fairfield and Perry is because of the canal went right along the banks of that, and it was a water source for the canal.
So what is going to be taking place then on that Saturday? You mentioned the governor will be here, but it's not going to just be about that. I'm sure there's going to be different things, some reenactments and those kind of things, correct?
I think that Howard and the Historical Alliance have a whole day of activities planned from and bring the family down. Kids can get involved. You know, you can see the lock in downtown Newark there at the Works property right at the end of Canal Market. Go in the Works as well. But they're going to have educational stuff and games and fun and activities the whole day. Entertainment and food. I'm into that.
I bet.
And, you know, what the heck, you know. But no, it's a long day, long celebration. And the fact the governor's coming to Licking County to help commemorate this is a big deal. And I know a lot of people are planning to be there. And there's a beautiful, and the commissioners, we underwrote the cost of this, a beautiful new brochure that shows the map of the canal. We're going to use it in the schools to kids to educate them on the history of the canals in Ohio and where they went and where what they did. And the beautiful new brochure has been printed. It'll be available that day, and we'll be distributing it during the next year during America's 250th.
You know, you talk about the canals and you talk about transportation. Well, to just kind of move into another area of expertise in the Licking County commissioners, and I know Commissioner Black, you sat on the transit board at one time, but how about Licking County Transit just now announcing, well, not just now, but giving the date for when the new Hebron Buckeye Lake.
We're having a new route established from out to Hebron and Buckeye Lake, It will run from Newark out there, making stops in Hebron and Buckeye Lake, and that's going to be July 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll cut that loose, and the ridership for Licking County Transit, the deviated fixed routes, is way up. It has been very successful.
Did you think it would take off like this? I mean, it just seems like a week ago I was talking to Matt Allison. He said, yeah, we're going to put in the new FERT number one route here in Newark. And now all of a sudden you're on your fifth, and I know they've got plans for more.
Oh, yeah. They've got plans for more. It's just it takes time to get them laid out. You got to have a timetable that works. And that's one of the tough parts when you go out that far. Can we make the loop in a respectable amount of time so people aren't waiting forever, or, you know, it just takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And the farther out we go, the more difficult it gets.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's going to be a little different about this, if you think about it, there's a lot of employment in that Route 79 corridor out through Union Township, through Hebron, and to Buckeye Lake. And there's going to be two different kinds of bus routes depending on the time of day. So that they'll explain it more as we get close to the kickoff of the route the first week in July. But basically, during work times when people have to be at work out in the industrial parks, they're going to be hitting the industrial parks and moving more there. And then during the off times during the day, they'll be doing what we're familiar with in Newark, Heath, Granville, and that's the rotating one-hour circular that will go to Hebron and Buckeye Lake, just for people need to go to the library, go to the doctor, whatever. So Matt is they're coming up with a unique approach here, mm-hmm. to be both delivering people to the workplace out there. People need to get to work at the various industries out in southern Licking County, but also serving Hebron and Buckeye Lake. And we should give credit to the two mayors and the councils in Hebron and Buckeye Lake, because they have stepped up and helped to invest in this. And that's the one secret that we should, it's our duty to share with your audience, is that there is a cost, there's a big cost to expanding bus service. You have to buy equipment, drivers, and the costs involved. And right now, these are free, no fare routes. And we're able to do that because the communities and partners like Licking Memorial Health Department, Newark Campus, and others have helped to invest in this and help to pay for it, because they want people to move. And it's a public safety thing. It's a health thing. But I think is it July 1st we're going to cut the ribbon?
July 7th.
That's the first day it goes, ribbon cutting,
yeah,
I think it's July 1st. We're actually going to go out to the center of Hebron and then down the center of Buckeye Lake and celebrate with those two communities and our sponsors right before the 4th of July. And then right after that, the Monday after that, the routes will kick off. And I think we're also going, Rick, aren't we expanding the hours a little bit to like 5:30 to 7 or something?
5 to 7.
Yeah.
5 to 7.
Yeah, we're expanding the window, mm-hmm. because people need to get to work at certain times.
That's right.
Yep. So moving to a bigger, but guess what? You run more routes, that's more hours. You have to have drivers, you have to have equipment. I don't mean to beat this horse to death, but the day is coming, and just make a note of it out there, that we'll probably have to look for some alternative financing to help with the cost of this, and it could be a slight increase in the public sales tax, like a fraction of a penny. But if we're going to continue to grow transit in this county, including to western Licking County, Edna, Pataskala, New Albany, and all those regions out there that are relatively unserved, except a little bit by COTA on the Columbus side, there will be a cost. But it's a better county, it's a growing county, and we're taking care of people, because there's a percentage of people that don't have transportation. And this is taking care of our community, and it's a bigger percentage than you might think.
Well,
that need
watch
a ride.
Some of these stops. I mean, some of these stops have a few people stay. It's not like you just have one person stand there. I see it because, I mean, it comes right by the radio station up Reddington and then up 40th. There's people out there that are using this service, that's
they
for
are.
Sure.
They go to work, they can go to the hospital, they can go to the doctor. And, you know, a lot of people think this is just for elderly. No, it isn't.
No.
What if you're blind, if you can't see, or you don't have a car and you can't drive, and in the middle of the winter, you're not going to ride a bike or walk. And so you're probably just not going to get to the store, or get to the health care. So we're taking care of our community. And I just don't want anybody to think this is great, this is fun, adding more routes and more transit, and everybody wants it. But as a commissioner, I think it's important that we remind everybody there's a cost to this. We're putting more money, county money, into this. Our partners are helping to pay for it, and there will be a continued cost to grow the system, but the benefit benefit to the community is enormous. And so these are the things you do in a growing county to take care of the people that live here.
And if it weren't for the partners, it wouldn't be happening. I mean, they have provided a substantial amount of funding for this. We can't do it all out of county coffers.
Well, I got to tell you, if you'd have told me a couple of years ago that this would still be free, I never would have believed it. I mean, really, because, you know, when you first started it, it was free. And then you go, okay. And Matt Allison and I have talked about every time he comes in there now that we may have to check. And you're still not charging. I mean, I think it's unbelievable.
It's introductory. And it's called no fare. But the other thing is, it's no fair if I don't say this, that is that it may not always be completely free.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you ride the bus in other communities, there is a cost, and if you ride to the curb, and we've been providing bus service for 25 years in the county, direct, you know, one trip at a time, mm-hmm. sort of like cab service, there is a cost to ride the bus. And ultimately, we may have to go to a fair system, F-A-I-R-F-A-R-E, a fair mm-hmm. fare system, to generate some revenue to help pay for it. That's just life. I'm glad that we're able to do this introductory, these routes, no fare, and that's the way we're doing it. But someday there may be a little cost involved with it, but there's also a cost to owning a car and putting gas in it and driving a car to work, too.
I'm sure the folks that are using it right now are like, okay, we knew this was coming. We're happy with this service. I'm going to stick with it. I mean, because as you said, and here's the other thing. Like you mentioned, it's not just elderly people. I know a lot of young people who are living in downtown Newark.
I don't have a car.
Exactly right. So this is a way for them to get mm-hmm. to the grocery store, the doctor's office, if there's not one near a good job somewhere.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's...
You get that good job, you may be able to afford the car someday.
That's right.
But you know, if you had to even pay a dollar or two for that ride to help pay for it, it's a godsend because, you know, if you can't walk or ride a bike there, you know, you're going
to
get there.
And well, I go back to what you said starting. It's the winter months. No one mm-hmm. wants to be out walking.
Yep. Well, it's not safe.
Nope, not at all. A lot going on. Again, if folks want your newsletter, Commissioner, what do they need to do?
Well, just drop me a note or call down at the Commissioner's office. Go to our website. You can, for Rick or Dwayne or myself, we have our email addresses on there. You can email us, call us, leave us a message, or call the office at 670-5110. If we're there, we'll talk to you. If we're out doing like we're doing right now, communicating and working in the community, we'll call you back. And I'll call you back, and I'll be glad to share my newsletter with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even Rick reads it. Don't you?
Well, see that?
Yeah, I do.
See? I got an endorsement there.
I tell you, I read it every. You were surprised I had pulled something off. I'm like,
my wife is even on his mailing list.
Oh, now that we're in trouble.
Climbed the hill here.
Well, I mean, we may not have the Commissioner Bub back on after the way he was treating me earlier today, Commissioner Black. It may just be you and I.
This is my final trip here.
Maybe the last. Hey, real quick, and before we let you go, a lot of stuff going on the 4th of July weekend. Again, look at your newsletter, but it's going to be a good time across Lake.
Well, yeah, check local media.
Yep.
Yeah, but you know, all the big celebrations in Granville, the Newark thing at the amphitheater, Heath, Star Spangled Celebration, Pataskala, Johnstown, Utica. Yeah, I'll forget somebody if we start, but there's a bunch of things happening over the 4th. And really, check with your radio station, check with the local media as well. It's a fun time of year.
Well, the Johnstown event is coming up first.
Well, the parade, Fireman's Parade.
21st, I believe.
Yeah, it's a little bit here.
In June 21st.
There's always something going
Johnstown's
on. Always something going on. So check it out. Make sure you get out and about and enjoy the holidays. Again, thank you to Licking County Commissioners Rick Black and Tim Bub for joining us today on Talk of the Town.